The Silver Screen Projects.
Welcome to the Silver Screen Project, where we look back at a series of films in anticipation of an exciting new cinema release.
In preparation for Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, we went back to the faraway time of 2021, during the pandemic, to watch Godzilla vs. Kong 2021. The last film of this franchise before the new one.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Yeah, I've got mixed feelings about this. I like a lot of it. I like Kong, I like Godzilla, I like the kind of the way that they're matched up to fight, the kind of the way that all that's set up is quite fun. The human characters, they're okay. The extra kaiju bits, there's not much of them, but there are some fun bits. I think it's okay. I don't think I liked it as much as the last one. Mm. I'm not really sure, to be honest. I've got quite mixed feelings about this film. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, so like there's lots of stuff I do like. Mm. I do think it's a bit of a mess and it's a bit all over the place. Mm. I feel they've tried to squeeze too much into one film and then as a result left out loads of stuff that should have been in there.
Yeah.
Overall, I enjoyed it. I don't think I liked it as much as when I first saw it. Mm. And I do think it's weaker than the previous three films in this franchise.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
it's notably worse than those three.
Yeah, I think there's elements of it, like the two title characters fighting, you know, he's always going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Even if the fights maybe aren't amazing. So
they're
they're generally pretty good. I feel like there's not as much fight stuff in this as I remembered.
Yeah.
I feel like, because there's a couple of bits, like when they're in the Hollow Earth, Kong fights the flying snakes and all that, and it's kind of like, this feels like it's making up for the fact that there's not as much big fight stuff.
Yeah.
Because we get I don't want to go too, like, straight into negatives. We get the fight on the boat, and then we get the fight with the Godzilla and Kong in the city in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong,
yeah, when he comes out from under, with the axe, and then we get the fight with all three of them. Oh no, there's kind of an in between where Kong's down.
Yeah,
Godzilla feels like it's all the same fight. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I feel like there's a lot of structurally, like you say, being a mess. There's big gaps in this film where not much is happening, and the exposition team of Brian Tyree Henry, Millie Bobby Brown, and the other guy are kind of just walking into rooms and then explaining what's happening. I feel like I said last time, like, oh, at least Millie Bobby Brown has people to hang out with this time, but they're just like all reading scripts about what's happening.
And I don't think I can remember a single line that any of them said at any point.
They literally just go in and go like, this must be the big skull from that thing.
Yeah.
He had three things and he did his thing telepathically.
Yeah.
This guy's the pilot. Yeah. Let's talk about some good stuff.
I think the intro with Kong is really good.
Yeah.
I made a note here that Kong in this universe is clearly a lot smarter than Truman in the Truman Show. It does not take him that long to figure out.
They do say that they've been monitoring for like 10 years.
Yeah.
The lead person, Rebecca
Hall?
Yeah, I was going to say. I was going to say Ferguson, but she's in June 2.
Yeah.
June and June 2. She's been with him for 10 years. They probably had him for a bit longer because of Skull Island was in 73 or what, 74.
Yeah.
But they say like, oh, he's getting too big for the enclosure. And you're like, okay, so maybe that's why he started getting a bit closer to the screens and all that.
I think they do this franchise has always done great doing the opening credits.
Mm.
Always great.
They follow suit. They do like the bracket kind of system of who they fought. And the stats are flashing up. And also,
given like the Latin names, so like Titanus Gojira, Titanus Kong.
Yeah.
Like, it's just fun, like world building, and it's like it's the sort of stuff that like people like nerds like us can be like, yeah, I like that, without actually having to be like dialogue.
Do
the lore dump in the opening credits, and it looks cool, and like you said, the bracket is really
cool.
Coming
up and it's the matchup and you're like, oh yeah, because the kind of crux of this film is that they are both effectively alpha titans, and if Kong is allowed out into the world because of titan noises or whatever was in the last film.
They will fight and...
Yeah. And I think that's an okay kind of way of setting it up.
Yeah. I think, that kind of setup... I'll save negatives.
yeah.
I think a lot of the Kong stuff is really good in this. I think the characterization of him...
They make him much more human in this.
Yeah.
I feel like even... Yeah, I mean, he's grown a lot since the last one. I think you mentioned in Skull Island how tall he was, and he's grown like another 100 meters or something crazy.
I think he's like 102 feet at this point.
Something like that. So... He's grown, but he's kind of become more human. There's the human girl that he's got the
signing with.
I do quite like the bit when, for some reason, the fucking stupid scientist obviously has never paid attention and never seen them signing each other. But it's quite a nice moment when everyone kind of realizes he's intelligent, he can kind of communicate. I feel like that's quite a good bit. It doesn't really make sense, but, you know.
I think... I like a lot of the Hollow Earth stuff when Kong first gets down. When he gets his like thrown in his axe, that's cool. Yeah. The fighting the flying kaiju things, which are a bit like the Skull Crawlers but with wings.
Yeah.
They're cool. The little asteroid belt in the middle where he kind of goes over and like touches it and then does that jump. It's just cool.
It looks cool.
It is cool.
Hollow Earth check-in. This is the real Hollow Earth now.
Oh, yeah. Hollow Earth, 100% confirmed.
100% confirmed. We see, like, a scan of it with Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah.
So it seems like there are tunnels going into the centre of the Earth.
Yeah.
And then the actual centre is... Hollow,
because we talked about last time about how it actually looks, but it looks like there is. But then I don't know how that quite lines up with how it actually looks down there. It looks like two like sheets of paper on top of each other.
It does. Almost. I don't know where the light source is. I imagine we'll find that out when we go to cinema in half an hour. Hopefully they say, oh, there's a big volcano that's always over there, because it looks like there's sun down there. There's clearly not going to be a sun.
I like plants that use photosynthesis.
Maybe they're different types of plants.
Maybe radiation.
I do like that in the distance you can see like lightning and thunder, and it seems like there's different climates kind of within.
Yeah.
Again, doesn't make any sense, but it's become like a Journey to the Center of the Earth thing. It's kind of mashing up different sci-fi kind of elements with it, which is fine. I think that's all fun.
I liked the Hollow Earth stuff.
And you get like the weird like bird things that are just like disgusting vulture things.
Yeah,
they're cool. It looks like they'd fit in on Skull Island kind of thing. You're like, whatever, this is a cool thing.
I thought I haven't got too much positives, to be honest. I thought the Mechagodzilla was cool. I've got some negatives that we'll talk about.
Bit of a strange design, but I think it kind of works for the world.
Yeah, it makes it kind of that realistic take on Mechagodzilla rather than.
Although we'll talk about the leap in technology in the negatives.
Yeah, but I think generally Mechagodzilla's a cool character and it's fun.
The laser's all cool.
Yeah, and I think first time where it fights against the Skull Crawler,
and it's like the Skull Crawler, which is. Probably bigger than the one that Kong faced, and just dispatches it like nothing.
Easy,
it's all cool.
I thought it was funny as well. This franchise has kind of had a running joke at this point that in the final fight at the end, the winner lifts up the head of the loser and does something with it, which we get again with this. And I'm like, yep, that's cool.
And even Kong with the flying snake thing, he like eats the kind of brains or whatever from it as well.
We commented on the last one. I think one of the strongest points of King of the Monsters was the cinematography and how great. There's not as much as it is this point, but the one shot I really liked was when they're on the boat and there's the plane flying away from Kong, and you kind of see Kong in the background, but the camera's like attached to the plane.
Which is very similar to a thing they did in Avengers. I don't know if you remember, where someone's trying to shoot out away from Hulk, but it gets grabbed.
Yeah.
And you think Hulk's... Yeah. But in this, Kong is very much on our side. And maybe, I don't know, that might come up in your negatives, the kind of siding of it. But, you know, I think it's necessary.
I think it is necessary. I think there was better ways to do it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the characterization of Godzilla in this doesn't make any sense based on the previous three films we've seen.
No, because it's kind of implying that the Ghidorah AI/head/eyeball thing that they have is somehow kind of doing the whale noise orca thing of the previous one and making him go crazy and want to smash up the factory. Doesn't really make sense, but it's just it's a plot point to get it all started, isn't it?
Have you got more positives?
Yeah, I'm just having a quick look. I mean, the Godzilla's first entrance is great. Where, or not that bit with the factory, but with the boats. There's like a boat getting pulled along, and Godzilla's like coming out of the water. Yeah, just a cool bit. The boat bit is pretty fun. I like the big punch that was in all the trailers.
Yeah, it is. It is a really fun bit of the film. The big punch.
I don't think the physics of standing on the boats really makes sense.
Doesn't make any sense. But it's cool.
Yeah, it's. I like that they're doing the take Kong off Skull Island thing in this. Like, yeah. It's kind of like this is a part of Kong's.
It's
kind
almost
of,
like a callback to Kong lore.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially with him like chained up on the boat. I like that. I think in that fight as well, I think it's really cool that Godzilla tried to like drown Kong essentially as his kind of way to win the fight. Because it makes sense, like totally. an aquatic animal.
Yeah, I didn't notice drown the monkey. That they kind of highlight the gills quite a few times in this. And it's like, it's not something I'd noticed before, but it makes sense for Godzilla to have. I'm just looking through. Oh, again, straight after that bit on the boat when Kong leaps away from the atomic breath as it comes through the water. That's a cool scene. It's like cool moment from a scene as well. But yeah, negatives. What were you going to go into?
Before what negative? I've got some that kind of don't really feel a bit like nitpicky, silly stuff.
Okay.
The first Godzilla attack where he goes it comes up after 8 dead. Like, okay, this is a much smaller scale then.
I thought the same.
What, did he walk through a village?
It's clearly like, we can't make him too much of a bad guy. I think they just added that afterwards, didn't they? They went, so don't worry, kids. If you're a big fan of Godzilla, he only accidentally killed 8 people.
Yeah.
They were already dead already. They were almost dying.
They also do the thing where, like, all those kind of natives that we met on Skull Island in the Skull Island film, they're just all dead. There was a big storm that killed them all.
And also,
don't worry about all that.
Skull Island is just, like, really horrible and stormy now.
Yeah.
Why is that?
They said that like, the storm's just taken over Skull Island and killed the natives. And I'm like, well, that's a bit cheap. Like,
it's just a way of being like, forget about that. Hollow Earth is the new. Was it like Friendship Ended with Skull Island? Hollow Earth is my new best friend.
Pretty much. There's the classic Kong thing of like, how did they get Kong onto the boat? How do they lift him up in that net? I don't know.
I like him being left up in the net. It feels like BFG kind of thing.
Also, there's a thing that I was that when they're like to this point, they're still trying to get down to Hollow Earth and try and prove Hollow Earth.
Yeah,
but like we've seen the Monarch series. They went to Hollow Earth, like, in the 50s.
Oh, did they? I didn't see the end of that series. No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Do they have a problem with the gravitational inversion?
Yeah, I think some people die when they first try to do it. But, like, I think what they start doing more...
I thought there... Is that something to do with why Kurt Russell is really old?
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I think I probably said that in the first episode.
But, like, it's kind of weird that, like, they've gone to... Because they're both Monarch... It's Monarch in the Monarch series, and it's Monarch in this.
Kind of, because Monarch aren't really in this that much. A lot of it is like Apex, Cybernetics. Did you notice that Lance Reddick is in one scene, and I looked it up, he's supposed to be the head of Monarch. There's a bit when he's with Carl Channer, and they're looking at some laptops, and he's like, oh, over there, something.
Oh, yeah.
And there was supposed to be a scene at the start that was like the Monarch briefing stuff, and it kind of laid out what was going to happen.
Yeah.
They cut it for time, and then they kept him in one single scene.
Carl Chandler's barely in this as well.
Oh, my God, He's just become like a bit of an annoying, like, nerd dad. Like, he's lost all the kind of bite he had before.
Going into negative.
Yes.
Oh, no, one more thing. I think it's funny that this does the opposite, how I see it, to Captain America Civil War, where Captain America Civil War is a Captain America film in name only, where it's actually like an Avengers film.
Yeah.
Whereas this is Godzilla and Kong, but it's a Kong film. Godzilla's barely in this film, which is one of my criticisms. It's a Kong film with Godzilla.
Is the previous one of these, the previous Godzilla versus Kong, is it called King Kong versus Godzilla?
Yeah.
So that's why they've changed it around, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because of SEO.
But yeah, I understand the need to focus on one, but it does seem weird to do Godzilla versus Kong and have Godzilla have literally probably about a third of the screen time of Kong.
Yeah, yeah. And like, and appear very kind of mean in this a lot. Very mean kind of
characterization.
They
kind of made him look more evil.
Yeah.
I think one of my criticisms with this is the structure in that. So I've got some times here. The first Godzilla Kong fight finishes halfway through the film.
Oh, that's the boat one.
I'm like, okay, kind of doesn't leave a lot of time after.
Yeah.
Mechagodzilla only leaves the little lab that it's in with 20 minutes left of the film.
Yeah.
Which, and I feel like Mechagodzilla, as much as I kind of like him in this film, should have been saved for a sequel.
Mm.
You have Godzilla versus Kong as this film. Have the climax of them fighting and then kind of something else causing it, maybe the spirit of Ghidorah.
Yeah.
And then kind of having that bow down moment almost that they did. I don't think you need Mechagodzilla in this. I think it just seems a bit tacked on for no reason.
Yeah.
Whereas you could do a sequel. The next film could be Mechagodzilla with Kong and Godzilla kind of teaming up to fight. And then you could do the whole Ghidorah influence stuff
because
throughout the film.
The way that this feels is it's a rock, paper, scissors situation between the three.
Yeah.
And it feels like Godzilla can beat Kong, but Godzilla can't beat Mechagodzilla, whereas Kong can beat Mechagodzilla, but can't beat Godzilla.
Yeah.
And it's just like, so Godzilla didn't really need to help that much at the end, from what I remember. They kind of work together a bit.
He powers up
the axe,
which is quite cool. But,
yeah, it's quite cool.
But yeah, I just feel like it's a waste of Mechagodzilla, who Mechagodzilla is like the main villain in like four Godzilla films. Like, he's kind of a big character that they've just kind of thrown in for 20 minutes.
I feel like they could easily do like, oh, we've made another one at some point and have improvements to it and make it a bit more kind of sleek.
Yeah,
that.
It's a little disappointing.
Yeah. I think they did quite a good job of making quite a cheesy kind of unreal, you know, in quotation marks, unrealistic villain kind of work for the but what I was saying before about technology. So the last one seemed like our world.
Yeah.
And now this is pre them finding the Hollow Earth formula or whatever that allowed them to, whatever bullshit that was. They plugged something in and went, this is an energy, we'll do the arc reactor up there, whatever that was.
Yeah.
That's fine. But yeah, since then they've now got like holographic tablets that show things in 3D space. They've got those Heave things, which are just crazy sci-fi.
It's funny,
magnetic.
The bit where the main conspiracy gang just kind of wander into one out of nowhere and appear in Hong Kong.
Yeah, well, I think that's a different thing that's going. I mean,
I think so with the tech in a lot of films, like with like Marvel and stuff, the technological advancements make sense because you're in a world where Tony Stark is fighting against aliens, so he's developing tech. Yeah. So like the nanotech,
I
makes
think they
sense
should have said
universe.
Something. Or maybe it's in the opening credits, but if it is, it's not clear enough. There should have been something like Titan, because I think they said at the one of the last ones, it was like Titan waste can be used as biodegradable fuel or something.
Yeah.
Have something like, we've learned from Godzilla's atomic breath that we can use this kind of power or something.
Yeah.
Have it when the Apex talk, the guys talking on the screen about their AI and everything, go, because of Titan technology or whatever, we can do this crazy stuff now.
Yeah.
In the last 2 years, we've been.
But there's no reason.
Like a new world.
Yeah, the whole point of the last one, they kind of said at the end, was that these Titans are bringing back nature and making nature better, and somehow that's giving them more tech, which doesn't make.
What did you think about?
They should have done more of the nature stuff in this. I feel like that they set up in the last
even
one.
Shown like San Francisco being all like, you know, overgrown in a good way or whatever. What did you think about the kind of 2001 trippy going through the Hollow Earth thing?
It was fine.
It was all right, wasn't it? I didn't remember that bit. I was like, this is quite fun. It's kind of weird that, was it Alexander Skarsgård's character had like a twin brother who got like crushed in the gravity thing or whatever? They're talking about him at the start.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a picture of him and it's just Alexander Skarsgård. So like, was it I think it was a twin. I don't know. It's a bit stupid. Maybe they'll find him in the next one. He's still in the Hollow Earth or something.
I think it's wild that they have a film about like kaiju and Hollow Earth and they're like, aren't conspiracy theorists completely crazy?
like Heave showers in bleach and all that.
Yeah, and I'm like,
this entire
fucking like universe is crazy. Yeah. Like, why are you making this guy like insane?
I thought it was so dumb that he's like, I've been undercover for 5 years, but he's making podcasts about it. Like, where are these podcasts going out? If they're on a normal
network.
Bobby
Brown. How did Millie Bobby Brown find this podcast?
Because she's like obsessed with Titans or whatever. But he's like, I'm gonna go in today and do my final mission. No one's like, listen, maybe he's got such bad listeners.
Yeah.
Nobody's found it. That's quite funny. That I feel like they could have made a joke there where it's like, has no one like twigged at Apex and he's like, my listeners are pretty low, whatever, something like that. But yeah, and I just their whole thing was like, oh, we're gonna wander into this room and then find something out and wait until no one finds us for an hour and then go to the next room and it was just a nothing
kind of meh.
Yeah.
I've written down here, at this point, I'm kind of bored of the, hey, this group of humans are actually evil twist that we've had, like, three films in a row now.
Yeah.
It happens in Skull Island with Samuel Jackson. Mm. It happens in King of the Monster with Vera Farmiga. Yeah. And now it's happened again with, like, the Apex. And it's like, is it just every film it's going to be these humans that we're working with, they're actually evil?
It's normally so that they can be like, ah, then some of them can get their comeuppance. But then actually, having said that, in the last one, Tywin Lannister just escaped and was in the post credits.
Yeah. Maybe just make them evil from the start as well.
Yeah, like, I mean they were. It was more just the mum. Yeah,
but
well, I mean, going into the next one, which we haven't seen yet.
No,
it seems like they've shaken up the cast a bit. I think they've slimmed it down. And
yeah, one thing I do appreciate about this franchise is, apart from this one with like two characters, they generally change the cast for each one, which works. I like it because it makes sense.
I think the Kong Whisperer girl, I think she might be back in some capacity.
That makes sense.
I don't know who else. Maybe the mother figure for her. That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And the only other criticism I've really got is it's lost that sense of scale and size that we had in the
other. Totally. The bit where Kong is standing in that Arctic bit when he first gets there.
Yeah.
And it's quite cute when he's cold and all that. But there's these kind of holes that he could go in, but they just look like, he looks like a gorilla in a normal pen.
Yeah.
And I think they've done something with his proportions where he's more on all fours in this one. He doesn't quite look as kind of human. He looks human in the face, but his body. But
a lot of Skull Island, he's walking around upright. And in this, he's usually going on all fours.
Yeah, they've done something funny there.
Yeah, a lot of the camera angles, you don't get that kind of street view looking up. It's all kind of shoulder height cameras of both of them with just a bunch of stuff in their way.
And I think you've said, maybe off pod, but the speed factor as well.
Yeah.
I think
the slow moving nature of the Godzilla 2014 worked so well. In this, they are starting to just run around a bit. And it's a bit like, they both look 5 foot tall, like running around a little miniatures thing.
Yeah. We'll see, won't we?
So I've got a few bits of trivia. Mm-hmm. This earned $122 million during its opening weekend sales, making it the biggest opening movie released during the pandemic. I kind of forgot that this was like the big... Because it was released on HBO, wasn't it?
Yeah,
early. I think you watched it, streamed it, and I was like, no, I want to see it in cinema, and waited like 4 months or something.
So I don't think I ever saw it in the cinema. I think we didn't go watch it together.
No, I don't think
so. We saw the previous one.
Yeah, I waited like 4 months to see this, which was a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, and I was like, I know that Mechagodzilla's in this.
Yeah, I think you said to me that before that this film does do more Hollow Earth stuff, or that Hollow Earth is featured more in this, and I was like, okay. Didn't know to that extent.
But still, like, it's kind of, I guess it makes sense to save it for this next one, that they are exploring Hollow Earth more.
Yeah.
It feels a bit like they go down there. It's a bit like when Godzilla goes to his underwater temple.
Yeah.
They go down, they get a thing, and then they come straight out again, and then there's not really any ramifications. It's like,
On 11th of March 2021, Legendary Studios revealed the official heights of both titans for their monarch profiles. Godzilla stands at 393 feet, 120 metres, which is the same height as in King of the Monsters.
Okay.
While Kong stands at 336 feet, 102 metres,
18
metres shorter. Okay. This is the largest incarnation of Kong in history, both in the American incarnation... both the largest American incarnation and the second largest overall of Godzilla. So biggest Kong ever,
second
biggest after the Netflix anime series Planet of the Monsters, he's like the size of a mountain.
I only watched the first one of those. But I think he gets bigger as it goes, doesn't
it? It gets what you can like see him from space, I think.
Yeah, it's like he'd be crushing this fucking planet.
Yeah, those films aren't great. Boring. Kong once again shoved something down Godzilla's throat during the battle.
Oh, yeah.
This time an axe handle rather than a tree like he did in King Kong vs. Godzilla 1962.
Right.
That's a nice callback. Yeah. And this other one, I really like it. It's given me more appreciation for Adam Wingard, the director. Adam Wingard explained why the movie's runtime is a little less than 2 hours. He stated that this is on purpose, telling Variety that he prefers to keep his films under the two-hour mark. The director also said that if Godzilla vs. Kong was to run for 3 hours... it likely wouldn't include an additional hour of the Titans duking it out. He stated, a lot of fans are asking me, is this going to be a 3-hour film? And when it was announced under 2 hours, they immediately thought, when's the director's cut coming out? I like movies under 2 hours. I think if you do a movie over 2 hours, you better have a damn good reason for it to be that long. At the end of the day, if you're going to make this movie into a 3 hours, you're not going to make an extra hour of monsters fighting. You're going to get an extra hour of people talking about monsters.
Transparent. I like that.
I like that. This film did it. I think that maybe this film could have been longer with more Mechagodzilla stuff, but I think that's partly Mechagodzilla should be in another film. Mm-hmm. But I think, I like that he's not just making films long for the sake
Of
it.
Totally. And I think I remember when this came out that he said, there's no post credits at all in this.
No,
and
I
looked up and I was like, I remember. He said something along the lines of, because we don't know where fans want the franchise to go, so we don't want to tease something that's going to not be fulfilled.
And based on the trailers, they didn't listen to fans anyway.
Well, I think I have only seen the very, very early trailer for this new one.
I've just seen shots and clips.
Trailer. They're going down a different route, I think. Yeah.
So the last thing to ask is whether this made you more or less hyped for Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire, for Jess or Progeno?
I think I'm just going to carry on with what I've been saying. Although they're getting worse, these films, I still am kind of like, this is going to be quite fun. So I'm going to go with the Progeno.
Okay, I've been consistently Progeno throughout, partly because in the other ones it kind of makes me realise how good these films can be.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of first showing those elements that we're worried that this next one might be.
And the fact it's the same director again.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to say Progeno, just because I think I really liked this film when I first saw it. I think this is only the second time I've seen
same
it.
Same for me, yeah.
And my opinion of it had gone down quite a bit, so I'm like, oh, actually.
It's one of those, like we said with Godzilla 2014, the first time seeing everything spectacle, everything's first time.
Yeah.
Sometimes that doesn't work a second time or third time or fourth time as it would be for that. I don't think there's a lot of filler in this film, and I think that hopefully is a lesson they might learn with the next one, but we'll wait to find out.
So that is Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah, and if you like that, we've got similar stuff on the same podcast channel. We've got things about the rest of this series that we've talked about, and stuff about Kung Fu Panda is just coming out as well.
Yeah, we certainly have.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Raw.
Sure. Project.